Welcome to Foundation Fridays. This is an offshoot of my Reverse Reset Restore podcast, where we drop extra information on you on the last Friday of the month. This is the place where we talk about the books that are reshaping thoughts and belief systems, teaching us and guiding us into a deeper knowing of ourselves. Think of it as the book club for the soul. I'm your host, Sally, and I'm creating whole new worlds for myself, one page at a time. I'm one of those people who underline, highlight, and note in the margins if a book allows, if a sentence resonates with me. I want to visually see it to refer back to it. Well, my copy of this month's book is almost an entire underline, and I'm so excited to share with you some of the stuff in it that has really got me thinking, ironically, I know, about just how much I do think and how that thinking has been hurting me. If you're like me, you've got yourself into the habit of being an overthinker. This pattern of thinking usually sets our thoughts off in all kinds of directions, kind of like a lolly scramble or a burst pinata with a candy going everywhere. Except our thoughts are generally nowhere near as sweet as candy, and most of them leading nowhere particularly helpful. Overthinking contributes to poor sleep, and as we discussed back in episode 79, I'd rather be naked, removing the labels we wear. Overthinking coexists with conditions such as depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and substance use disorders, and it disrupts our healing processes. The statistics for those who are chronic overthinkers are staggering, with 73% of people aged 25 to 35 and 52% of people aged between 45 and 55 experiencing chronic overthinking. That is a huge amount of people living under the weight of worries and anxieties and constant questions. It's exhausting, isn't it? To have your mind never at ease? This week's book is Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nugent. In this book, we'll be exploring how our chronic thinking is the root of all our suffering, how it stops us from living our lives, imposing limits, and impacting our health. As Joseph says, we only hesitate, are reluctant, have doubts, insecurities, and fears only when we begin thinking and overanalyzing. In a world where our thoughts often dictate our reality, it's crucial to question the validity of every belief we hold. Don't Believe Everything You Think serves as a guiding light through the maze of our minds, challenging us to examine and change our thinking patterns. This episode delves into the transformative power of questioning and shares key insights from Nugent's profound exploration. Thoughts and thinking are not the same thing. Thoughts are creations. They are transient creatures, whereas thinking, particularly overthinking, or entertaining the thought, can often lead to feelings of despair, anxiety, depression, or to experience the world almost like we have a perception filter on. And the more we roll out the red carpet for our intrusive thoughts, turning them into thinking, the sicker we become, and the less likely we are to challenge the thinking. Here's how Joseph defines the two. Thoughts are the energetic, mental, raw materials from which we use to create everything in the world. We can't experience anything without a thought. It's important to know that thoughts are a noun and aren't something that we do, but something we have. A thought takes no effort or force on our end. Thinking, on the other hand, is the act of thinking about our thoughts. This takes a significant amount of energy, effort, and willpower. Thinking is actively engaging with the thoughts in your mind. And you don't have to engage with each thought in your mind. But when you do, that is thinking. Hopefully I haven't lost you. I know this sort of thing can be a little bit to get your head around when you're first starting out in this journey. It gets easier. Or not, depending on how you see it, I suppose. There are no inherently bad thoughts. A thought is just a thought, appearing and disappearing into the ether. It's when we dwell on them that we can turn a thought into something bad or emotionally crippling. This is particularly dangerous territory for us chronic overthinkers. We tend to look at our overthinking as a badge of honor, right? We're always prepared for all situations. We may have even led ourselves to believe that all this rumination, all our anxiety or worry is productive or even beneficial, or that it is just who we are. I know for myself, I truly believed that every thought I held was a part of me, came from me, which is horrifying when I think about some of those thoughts. I didn't understand that so many of my thoughts were just passing by, and I could let them carry on, like a cloud being shifted by the wind. How often have you believed a thought to be true and allowed yourself to be swept away by it? How many times do you prep your conversations in your head, even for situations that you may never be in? How long does it take you to commit to something, anything, because you have to weigh up every possible outcome? This persistent tendency to overanalyze can be a really amazing and effective tool, but it can also be extremely harmful, disrupting everyday activities and impeding decision making. When excessive rumination becomes widespread and inhibits taking action, it can greatly affect overall wellness, emphasizing the need to effectively address and control these cognitive patterns. This is the common thread throughout this book. Thinking is the root cause of all suffering. Do you want to stop suffering? I know I sure did, and this book has given me some great frameworks to stop my personal cycle of overthinking every single situation. Does this mean I never overthink? No. Does this mean I have my thoughts all figured out? No. Does this mean that I no longer allow myself to suffer? No. I still find myself engaging in acts of self-sustaining suffering quite a lot. But the difference is that I now have a deeper understanding that I'm not my thoughts and that I have tools to help me move out of the false narrative doing a number in my head. I'm going to share some of these frameworks with you, but I highly encourage you to get yourself a copy of this book so you can explore all its nooks and crannies for yourself. It's a fantastic read. It's written in bite-sized chunks. There are 17 chapters, and most of them are only 4 to 5 pages tops. Some are only 2, which means that even if you are time poor, only have a few minutes to spare, or if you feel overwhelmed by digesting a huge book, you can read a chapter and get a lot out of it. Joseph has also written a summary of non-thinking near the back of the book, which I'll be sharing each one in social media posts because I think they're super helpful. And there are frameworks and guides at the back to also help the reader navigate through the thinking suffering to non-thinking healing process. Now, normally, this is the part where I talk a little bit about our author's life before we really dive deep into the book. I do this because I usually find that there is an interesting tidbit that highlights, for me, how this book came into existence. But despite some pretty extensive searching on my part, I really couldn't find a thing about Joseph, which, after an email exchange with him, I discovered was by design. He's a pretty private person, and I respect that. I did discover that he is allergic to cats, and yet has 3 of them anyway. And obviously, he is a terrific thought leader, as you are about to discover. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Before I cover my key takeaways, I want to talk about the three principles of how the human experience is created. These three principles were first discovered by Sydney Banks as Joseph shares with the reader. They are universal mind, universal consciousness, and universal thought. As Joseph explains, these three principles work together to allow us to experience everything we do in life. And if one of the three is missing, we wouldn't be able to experience anything. Universal mind is the intelligence behind all living things. Call it God or Source or Infinite Intelligence, Quantum Source, whatever name feels most comfortable to you. The universal mind is where everything begins. Universal consciousness is, as Joseph explains, the collective consciousness of all things. It is what allows us to be aware that we exist and aware of our thoughts. And the third principle is universal thought. This is defined by Joseph as the raw material of the universe from which we can create from. He uses a pretty decent analogy in the book to help explain how all three work in conjunction with each other. Thought is like the DVD that contains all the information for us to be able to watch a movie on the TV. The TV and the DVD player is like consciousness. It allows us to have a mechanism to bring the information on the DVD to life for us to be able to watch and experience the movie. The electricity that's needed to power the DVD player and TV is like the universal mind, in the sense that it is the invisible energy or force that connects and powers all things. So, as we can see in this analogy, the source holds the power for the mechanism of consciousness to work for us to gather the information around us from which we create. Thoughts, and thus our thinking, feelings, and experiences, we then in turn call our reality. Without consciousness, or as in the analogy a TV and DVD player, our DVD is rendered useless. But the TV and DVD player won't work without power. We need all three to experience anything. You might be wondering how these three principles tie in with the topic of this book, especially when Joseph is encouraging us to disengage from our thinking habits. Because as we can see, the three principles work with each other. Well, in this book, Joseph reiterates that when we are caught up in the overthinking cycle, we've also separated ourselves from Source or Universal Mind, Principle 1. And he states, when we are connected to universal mind, we feel whole, fulfilled, filled with love, joy, peace, and inspiration. It is only when we begin thinking, believing the illusion or ego, that we block the flow of universal mind and begin to feel separated, frustrated, lonely, angry, resentful, sad, depressed, and fearful. It is our habit of overthinking or turning thoughts which create into thinking which destroys that are the root cause of our psychological and emotional suffering. Here are my 15 key takeaways from this book, which include practical ways we can end our own self-imposed suffering. Number 1, change comes from within. The very first chapter opens with this powerful quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. People have a hard time letting go of their suffering. Out of a fear of the unknown, they prefer suffering that is familiar. I couldn't agree more. In my experience as an observer of other people's lives, it seems that it's a common habit of the human condition to choose suffering by resisting change. If you are a regular listener, you'll have noticed how I start off every episode of our regular episodes with change comes from within at the end of the intro. This is because it's the truth. We might want things to change in our lives, but we don't always want to do the work to create change. We all know someone, or perhaps we are that someone, who has chosen suffering because it's what we know. Change brings uncertainty, and uncertainty and the unknown is a scary place to be. So we choose our suffering for its familiarity. It's a pretty sad way to live these precious lives we have. As Joseph says, although we experience a lot of pain in our lives, suffering is optional. In other words, pain is unavoidable, but how we react to the events and circumstances that happen in our lives is up to us, and that will dictate whether we suffer or not. What he's saying here, and what I hope you hear, is that we choose if we want to live within our suffering or not. Are you choosing suffering today? If yes, ask yourself why. And then ask yourself if you are willing to let it go. You are only ever one thought away from peace, love, and joy, which come from a state of non-thinking. Remember this and keep it close to your heart, because it is all the hope you need when life gets inevitably tough. Number two, the illusion of thought. Nugent's assertion, "Our thoughts are not facts," serves as a poignant reminder of the illusionary nature of our perceptions. We think that what we see, hear, feel, and experience in the world is reality. But our world is created by our thoughts, and then by extension, our feelings on those thoughts. And while we are living in this world of thought and not reality, we often mistake our thoughts for truth, failing to recognize the subjective lens through which they're filtered. By acknowledging this illusion, we open the door to change our thinking. As Joseph states, we can change our experience of life by knowing that it comes from our own thinking. And if that is true, then we are ever only one thought away from experiencing something different and transforming our entire lives at any moment through a state of no thought. Through practices like mindfulness and self-inquiry, we can observe our thoughts without attachment, gaining clarity and freedom from their grip. Number three, the power of self-compassion. In Joseph's words, be kind to yourself. You're doing the best you can. This simple yet profound statement highlights the importance of self-compassion in our journey of self-discovery. Instead of harshly judging ourselves for our thoughts and our actions, we can cultivate a nurturing inner voice that encourages growth and acceptance, even or especially when we are experiencing negative thoughts and feelings. As Joseph so beautifully puts it, negative emotions are an indication of misunderstanding. When we are gripped by negative emotions, it means we believe what we are thinking. When we reframe our negative emotions as a misunderstanding of our thoughts, we can give ourselves space for grace and self-compassion, which maybe is a way of being that we've forgotten. As Joseph further explains, just become aware that it is your thinking that's causing the ill feelings. Welcome it with love, and it will slowly dissipate before your eyes. In other words, meet your misunderstanding with love and watch it fade away. By practicing self-compassion, we create a supportive environment for change, allowing ourselves to embrace new perspectives and beliefs. Number four, embracing impermanence. Change is the only constant in life. And throughout this book, Nugent reminds us, urging us to embrace the impermanence of our thoughts and experiences. Too often, we cling to rigid beliefs and identities, fearing the uncertainty of change, thinking that what we think and believe in is who we are. Yet by recognizing the fluid nature of our thoughts, we open ourselves up to endless possibilities for growth and transformation. Change in our thoughts, our feelings, and our experiences is truly just a thought away. As Joseph writes, If we know that we can only ever feel what we're thinking, then we know that we can change our feelings by changing our thinking. Thus, we can change our experience of life by knowing that it comes from our own thinking. And if that is true, then we are only ever one thought away from experiencing something different and transforming our entire lives at any moment through a state of no thought. In short, the moment we stop thinking is when our happiness begins. Through mindfulness and acceptance, we can navigate the ever-changing landscape of our minds with grace and resilience, knowing that we own the power within to change our thoughts and affect change in our lives. For me, understanding this became such an empowering notion that I use it consistently. Every time I have thoughts that rise up that aren't helpful, I try to bring myself back to this moment of going, I can change my experience right now. I can change my feelings by choosing to focus on a different thought. One that's more helpful, one that's more life-giving, one that's not going to drag me down like the current one I'm thinking. Number 5, cultivating gratitude. Nugent's insight, gratitude is the antidote to suffering, underscores the transformative power of gratitude in our lives. When we shift our focus from scarcity to abundance or thanklessness to being grateful, we invite positive change into our thinking patterns. By cultivating gratitude for the present moment and all its blessings, no matter how bleak it may even feel for you at this moment, we foster a mindset of abundance and contentment, and our amazing brain will seek more of the kind. Through daily practices of gratitude journaling or mindfulness practices, we can rewire our brains to perceive the world with greater clarity and appreciation. I want to challenge you, I guess, to try this for 30 days and see what happens. If you constantly change the narrative, focus on the positive, focus on the things that you can be grateful for in your life, notice what change happens in your mind, in your attitudes, in your behaviors, in the way that you see the world when you're looking at it through a gratitude lens. Number 6, overcoming limiting beliefs. Joseph challenges us to confront our limiting beliefs and question their validity. For me, our limiting beliefs are tied to our feelings and our own view of the world. How I see a situation is going to be different than how you see the same situation. It's kind of that, is the glass half full or half empty kind of concept. Joseph writes, the meaning or thinking we give an event is what determines how we ultimately feel about it. That meaning or thinking is the filter through which we see life from then on. Because of this, we live through a perception of reality, not in reality itself. Reality is that the event happened with no meaning, thinking, or interpretation of it. He goes on to say, it's not about the events that happen in our lives, but our interpretation of them, which causes us to feel good or bad about something. Our feelings do not come from external events, but from our own thinking about the events. Therefore, we can only ever feel what we're thinking. By recognizing the stories we tell ourselves about who we are and what we're capable of or what we experience, we can break free from self-imposed limitations. Through practices like cognitive reframing and visualization, we can change our thinking to align with our true potential, unleashing a new sense of possibility and empowerment and a new type of what we perceive as reality. Number 7. The role of self-awareness. Self-awareness is the key to transformation, Nugent asserts, emphasizing the importance of introspection in our journey of personal growth. By cultivating a deeper understanding of our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, we gain insight into the underlying patterns that shape our lives. Through practices like meditation and journaling, we can develop greater self-awareness, paving the way for meaningful change and fulfillment. As Joseph writes, once you see something new from an insight, you cannot unsee it. Once your consciousness expands, it cannot contract again. We may forget from time to time and cause ourselves to suffer when we begin thinking again. But as soon as we remember that, we immediately realize that we are the ever-expanding awareness of life itself and find love, peace, and joy in the present. Number 8, letting go of control. Surrender to what is, Nguyen advises, urging us to release our grip on control and embrace the flow of life. Too often, I know I've done this, we resist change and cling to outcomes, causing unnecessary stress and suffering. By relinquishing our need for control and trusting in the wisdom of the universe, we open ourselves to new possibilities and opportunities. Joseph explains, the reason why we feel worried, anxiety, and doubt after we've experienced peace is because we have just let go of everything we thought we knew in the world. What actually happened was the death of the personal ego. A natural consequence is that once the personal ego is threatened, it will do everything in its power to regain control over your life. Now, our ego is something we're always going to have. Like our shadow, there is no avoiding it, there's no getting rid of it. So you may be thinking, how can I let it go? Won't I be completely out of control in a bad way if I stop thinking? If my ego is running my thinking, it's impossible to stop, isn't it? Well, Joseph acknowledges that never thinking is not possible, as it's part of the human condition. But he says, the point is not to prevent your thinking from ever entering your mind, but to shorten the time it takes for you to remember that it is just your thinking causing the negative emotions. Through practices like surrender meditation and letting go rituals, we can cultivate a sense of peace and acceptance amidst life's uncertainties, and we train our brain to move out of a toxic thinking state. Number 9. Nurturing positive relationships. Our relationships mirror our inner landscape. Nguyen observes the interconnectedness between our thoughts and the quality of our relationships. By fostering positive connections with others, we create a supportive environment for personal growth and transformation. Through acts of kindness, being empathetic, actively listening to people, we can cultivate deeper connections and enrich our lives with love and compassion. Number 10, don't buy into other people's thinking. It's important to recognize that being part of the world, and even when we are surrounding ourselves with people who generally have the best of intentions, it doesn't make us immune to thinking or being persuaded by the thinking habits of others. Joseph says, people will constantly bombard you with your own opinions, judgments, and advice. Know that they are innocently caught up in their thinking. And thank them for caring, but do not fall into the illusion that you need any of that. Everything you could possibly ever want and need is already inside of you. Number 11, the power of affirmations. Words have power. Nguyen reminds us, emphasizing the transformative impact of positive affirmations on our thinking patterns. By consciously choosing empowering statements to replace negative self-talk, we rewire our brains for success and abundance and to see the good and to focus on the plenty and what we have rather than what we don't have. Through daily affirmations and visualization exercises, we can shift our mindset from one of doubt and fear and insecurity and worry to one of feeling confident and optimistic. This helps us to unlock our full potential. Here are a couple of affirmations that you can use to help you transform your overthinking, worried, or anxiety-inducing thoughts. And if this is an area you'd like to overcome, I've released a special compilation of affirmations on the Reverse Reset Restore YouTube channel and a bonus episode, which will just be affirmations. The link for the YouTube channel video is in the show notes. Here are 10 that you can use right now. I am far greater than the sum of my thoughts. My mind is at peace right here at this moment. I release the need to empower worry with my constant thoughts. I create the world I am in. I can change my thoughts. I choose to replace worry with love and acceptance. I have power over my mind. Everything is working out for my good. I am leading a life of happiness and calm. I am living in this present moment. Number 12, embracing vulnerability. Vulnerability is the birthplace of courage. I love that concept. Nugent urges us to embrace our authentic selves and share our truths with the world. By allowing ourselves to be seen and heard, warts and all, we cultivate deeper connections and create space for growth and transformation. Through practices like vulnerability journaling or sharing with others, maybe being on a podcast like this, we can lean into discomfort and harness the power of vulnerability to expand our hearts and minds and live a life that is of a courageous, authentic self. Number 13, finding meaning and purpose. Life is what you make it. Joseph invites us to explore our passions and pursue our purpose with intention and authenticity. By aligning our actions with our values and our aspirations, we infuse our lives with meaning and fulfillment. This can be achieved through practices like vision boarding and purposeful goal setting, where you might use the SMART technique. Using these types of tools, we can help to clarify our purpose and live with greater intention, creating a life that truly reflects our deepest desires. Number 14, embrace the unknown. We struggle to embrace the unknown because it's exactly that, unknown. But as Joseph explains, the unknown is right where we need to be. The unknown is also the only way to manifest what you want in life. If you don't already have it, you have to download what you haven't done in order to get what you don't have. When you're operating from intuition, it's not like you're going to feel fear all the time. The fear is only present as long as your thinking is revolving around fear. Once you acknowledge the fear and understand that it's only your thinking that's causing those feelings, the illusion will fall apart and you'll fall back into peace, joy, and pure love. Intuition is an innate part of all of us, but it so often gets lost with all the thinking that we do. So we don't end up paying any attention to it or heed it. When we cease all our thinking and allow ourselves to live by being more intuitive, we find ourselves more willing to embrace the unknown and to step into a whole new way of living and being. And number 15, the practice of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the path to freedom. By releasing resentment and letting go of our past hurts, we free ourselves from the burden of anger and resentment. Through practices like loving kindness meditations and forgiveness letters, and we just did this recently where I encouraged you to write letters which you expressed all the feelings that you were holding on to about someone or a situation and let it go through the power of writing it out. We can heal our old wounds and cultivate inner peace, opening our hearts to love and being more compassionate and more empathetic. If you'd like more information on how to write yourself into a more loving and forgiving state, be sure to check out that episode number 84, Harnessing the Healing Potential of Writing Out Your Grievances. I've linked that episode in the show notes for you. As Joseph eloquently reminds us, don't believe everything you think. This simple yet profound statement encapsulates the essence of his transformative message. By questioning our thoughts instead of just accepting them, and by embracing change, we can embark on a journey of self-discovery and personal growth that will be forever life-changing. I invite you to share your thoughts and experiences with changing your thinking in the comments over on the Reverse Reset Restore Facebook page or the Foundation Friday Facebook group. Together, let's continue to explore the power of our minds, unlocking our full potential by relinquishing our need to believe that we are what we think. I'm closing out this episode with one last gem from this book. I hope it encourages and inspires you if you're feeling a little overwhelmed about letting go of your thinking patterns. Just remember this. Everything we could ever want is on the other side of faith.